on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Raider. Presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
Murray's going to score. Touchdown. Throws end zone for Fitz. Goes up and makes the game-winning catch. Larry Legend does it again.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford in Gilbert. Are you Santan Ford? State Farm. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. And by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcasts.
The Red Sea is rising up.
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get the popcorn ready. It's going to be a show.
And Ron Wolfley.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Unleash the fury!
If earlier today, the Arizona Cardinals defense can conduct a virtual walkthrough, then we most definitely can socially distance and run the Big Red Rage here, all presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford and Ron Wolfley, just so you know, you're standing akin to the virtual walkthrough earlier. Think of this show as yours truly making the call, everyone listening to me as I make the checks, and then at the end of the virtual walkthrough, you're the one going out for donuts. That would sort of be the standing, the pecking order here tonight on the Big Red Rage. In fact, maybe even lower for you once we bring on Lorenzo Alexander, former Cardinal, guy who just wrapped up a 15-year career. He's going to join us for a couple of segments a little bit later on the Big Red Rage.
Paulie, was that the punchline right there because I took a shot at you earlier this morning? Is that what you're doing right there? Just a little get back? Is that what you're saying, Paul?
Well, you know, you do need to be taken down a notch or five after your whole QB1 name-dropping this week,
right,
hanging out with Carson Palmer and Kurt Warner. So, you know, yes, you need a little humble pie to start things off.
Wait a minute, though. I you know, QB1, it was great and everything else, Paulie, but I want to talk to you. Are you saying they literally did a virtual walkthrough? Is that what you're saying, Paul?
Because they got
walkthroughs, first of all, as you know, Paulie, the most boring thing that could possibly happen to a football player is a walkthrough, right? Is it needed? You better believe it. Is it a necessity? Absolutely. Is it the most, you got roll on the ground and gouge your eyes out process? Yes. It just is boring. And now you're telling me we're going to do it virtually? Oh, Paul, that's a mess.
You tell me, Wolf, is there anything worse than getting up at 7:30 in the morning and going down to a hotel ballroom and and holding a walkthrough? I've never been in an NFL locker room, but I'm guessing that's right up there.
I can't tell you how many guys walking around with coffee in their hand, right? They're just walking around doing the walkthrough and, you know, taking a sip of their coffee right there. Again, it is a necessary evil. There's no doubt about it. It does help an awful lot of guys to go through a walkthrough, but oh, my goodness, it's boring. And then you tell me they did a virtual walkthrough? I'm just done. I'm done after that.
Apparently, Vance Joseph put the X's and O's right up on the screen, however guys are accessing and participating in the virtual walkthrough. So, boom, there was the defense. And then somehow he would incorporate an offensive play, and he'd just start calling names. What's your job?
Wow.
What's your assignment?
Oh, and that's cool.
He start calling guys out. What are you doing here? If the tight end does this, what are you doing? If the back comes out and runs a wheel route, what's your job? And so it was almost like a pop quiz. And
it's great, Paul.
So that was good stuff. And it just shows you once again, invention is created by necessity, is it not?
Yes.
And so they're trying to figure out, are the coaches not trying to determine? You heard Cliff Kingsbury say it last week. The players can look at you virtually through the screen and nod and say, I got it, coach. But when you get out there on the grass, they ain't got it.
You know what I love about that comment by Cliff Kingsbury, Paulie, when he said that, right? They'll look at you and say, I got it, coach. They'll do it in person as well. They're
right.
Looking at you right in the face, dead eye to eye. Of course I got it. Almost incensed that you believe they don't have it.
So, I mean, if you're Vance Joseph and Bill Davis and the rest of the defensive coaches, you're probably sitting around your meeting room going, okay, do they really have it or not? Let's find out and start calling some names and throwing out assignments and see who blows their assignment virtually.
Hey, that was a wake-up call to a lot of guys on that virtual walkthrough, I promise you.
I tell you what, Devondre Campbell was the one talking about that earlier today. When we come back, we'll talk about him. Lorenzo Alexander coming our way, just getting rolling on the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
Gillislee is the back, and look out off the play fake. That is Devondre Campbell smothering Brady.
Nobody blocked Campbell at all, and he gets a clean shot at the franchise. Ball came out, and luckily Brady fell on it.
A little fake on the end around, and Rodgers gets swallowed up. That's Campbell coming in there. And after the fake handoff, it's Campbell who comes in for the sack of Rodgers.
How about the 2019 of Devondre Campbell for the Atlanta Falcons? 129 tackles, two interceptions, three forced fumbles. He had a couple of sacks. He had a fumble recovery. He's played in five playoff games in his career. He really impressed the Cardinals coaching staff last year, especially when it comes to covering the tight end. You heard Steve Keim talk about it and make a joke, sort of a wry joke with Vance Joseph, that between Isaiah Simmons and Devondre Campbell, if the Cardinals can't get it done this year when it comes to the tight end, well, it's not on the front office. As we say, welcome back into the Big Red Rage, brought to you by Santan, Ford, and Gilbert. And Ron Wolfley, here's something about Devondre Campbell he shared today that he said, for the most part, he doesn't say much. But when he does, in his words, it's pretty important because he's given it a lot of thought. So he's an interesting, thoughtful guy. And as I learn more about the defense and what the Cardinals have on that side of the ball, there's some pretty high football IQs on this Cardinals defense going into 2020.
Yeah, Paulie, that is never a bad thing. As a matter of fact, it's a very, very underrated part of a football team, whether it's the offense or the defense, the special teams, whatever you're talking about, the collective IQ of the offense, defense, or special teams. Very, very underrated. Let me just say this. What really strikes me about all this is just the fact that Devondre Campbell and Isaiah Simmons, very kind of similar when it comes to a skill set, right? Their abilities. You look at Devondre Campbell, 6'3", 232 pounds. He's long. Well, guess what? Isaiah Simmons, 6'4", 238 pounds. He's long as well. Devondre Campbell can run. Now, he's not running a 4.39. All right, he's not running the 4.39. We all understand that. We all get that Isaiah Simmons is running. But still, these guys, from a skill set perspective, they share an awful lot of characteristics, Paulie.
And he runs well enough to be able to cover the elite tight ends in this league. In fact, don't take my word for it. Ask him, which is exactly what they did earlier today, Devondre Campbell.
I still honestly believe that I can successfully cover any tight end in the league. It's professional football, so of course this is the best of the best, but I'm very confident in myself and my ability as well.
And we all know the stat, everybody, now 17 receiving touchdowns by tight ends in 16 games a year ago against that Cardinals defense. It just was a persistent problem, and it's not going away. George Kittle's in your division. Tyler Higbee's in your division. Greg Olsen is now in your division. How confident do you feel, Wolf, here in 2020 trying to check the tight end?
Yeah, you know what, Paulie? First of all, you have to know that Vance Joseph is a guy that loves man free. That is his number one deal, I would say, right now. This is how I've known Vance Joseph since he's been a coordinator in the league and a head coach in the league, right? More of a Wade Phillips type disciple, a guy that loves to play man across the board with a free safety high, Paulie, in the middle of the field. Close the middle of the field, as they like to say, and bring five in particular. Rush five, right? I think with all of the additions, the roster building of Steve Keim, I think Vance Joseph has finally got that. He's got the pieces to go out and do it. Last year, he had to get away from it. He had to get away from who he is as a defensive coordinator, trying to do everything he possibly could to put people in position to actually make plays, right? And Hassan Reddick was a big part of that right there, yep. And whether or not Hassan Reddick was going to be able to hold up. But if he can return to his man-free ways and take a Devondre Campbell or an Isaiah Simmons and put that guy on the tight end, man, and you have him cover him in a man situation, that's going to go a long way to improving that defense.
4 years with Atlanta. He's a former fourth-round pick. He started 54 of 59 games with the Falcons.
Right.
As we said, five playoff games under his belt, that run to the Super Bowl. And if you remember, earlier in the offseason, a member of the Atlanta media, D'Orlando Ledbetter, the one and only, and he gave a breakdown in Arizona Sports 98.7 FM about what he thinks Campbell is all about.
He's doing a great job. They beat San Francisco this year. He was a big part of it. They left him on George Kittle. And then in the games against Philly the last couple of years, you know, he shut Zach Ertz down. They left him one-on-one on two of the top tight ends in the league. He's done a great job on Greg Olsen when they play the Panthers. That's one of the strong suits of his game. He's an old, traditional, strong side linebacker that you would put on the end and let him jack the tight end up.
Yeah. I love that right there, Bully.
Hashtag jack the tight end up.
Right, exactly. Here's the one thing I am a little concerned about, Bully, is just the fact that Devondre Campbell, of course, and Isaiah Simmons, I believe they're going to play the same position. They're going to play the weak side inside linebacker. That's where they say, the Cardinals say, they're going to actually start Isaiah Simmons out. Well, that's exactly where Devondre Campbell, of course, is going to play, right? I have this, I want the Cardinals to fight this urge, Paul. Fight the urge to move Isaiah Simmons to strong safety. I mean, right
fight,
now.
You're saying fight that urge, but what if it's a matter of getting Simmons on the field at any cost?
I mean, Paul. I know.
But can't you see a third down speed package, right, on passing downs? Can't you see them putting Isaiah Simmons and Devondre Campbell into the same defense at the same time?
Can I tell you right now, I think the Arizona Cardinals would be fine if Isaiah Simmons just beat out Devondre Campbell. Just came in and, honestly, just beat him out, flat out beat him out in training camp, and suddenly you say, okay. But again, I want him to fight that urge because I'm just worried. This is just me, Paul. I'm just worried about this rookie coming in and just getting overloaded with, you know what, hey, listen, we want to put you at weak side inside linebacker, but now we're going to move you to strong safety. That's what we're going to do right there, and we want to get both you guys on the field. Certain packages, can you do that? Absolutely. Certain matchups, without a doubt, Paul. But I just don't want to see Isaiah Simmons in the path to greatness, because I see him becoming a great weak side inside linebacker. I don't want to see that disrupted. That's my only concern, and it's probably too much of a nanny concern, Paul, but it is a concern nonetheless.
You know, you had Campbell today in that virtual Zoom press conference on his own give props to Isaiah Simmons and what he's seen so far, the high football IQ just in those meetings. On his own, he called him a unicorn, similar to what Chandler Jones cited. So he definitely has the attention of the Cardinals veterans on defense. And he also mentioned, when he looks at the Cardinals defense, he doesn't see many weaknesses. So we'll see what Lorenzo Alexander sees in the Cardinals when we come back on the Big Red Rage.
Shotgun set for Matt Ryan, has it, drops the pass, looks deep. Instead, he is sacked, and he goes down to the 25-yard line. And Alexander there for Arizona. Bradford takes, throws to the right, batted down, incomplete. Lorenzo Alexander got a paw on it, knocked it down.
And it was knocked down. Lorenzo Alexander doing a good job being alert. That was a smart play by Alexander.
Pressure in the pocket, and Brady goes down. Lorenzo Alexander took a swipe at the ball, and then came down for the second sack of the night.
Well, some big names in there. Some big plays by one of our favorite former Cardinals, Lorenzo Alexander, a 15-year career and a football life where he played about 15 different positions. And he joins us now on the Big Red Rage, brought to you by Santan Ford in Gilbert. Zoe, how's retirement treating you, big man?
Things are good. I wish you could have found some more Cardinals highlights. I got injured when I first got here, so I had to really kind of scrape it to find some highlights there. But, no, I appreciate the love, and retirement is great. Just really enjoying this time. Obviously, it's a pandemic, and so my heart and, you know, well wishes go out to everybody that is dealing with this time right now that are struggling. I've been in a fortunate situation to, you know, obviously retire and be able to sit back a little bit and really enjoy this time, not having to work with my kids, because I've been grinding for the last, you know, 15 plus years really to secure that. And so, you know, it hasn't been as bad, you know, and I've been trying in these times just to serve as we can with my daughter, with my wife, and the kids, as far as raising money and awareness for people going through this time. But it's been good for us.
So I would imagine, as a two-time Pro Bowler, of course, that first one had to mean a lot more, right? 2012, of course, as a special teamer, right? I mean,
as a transitional technician, what other better way to get in? They only take one from both sides.
That's so right, baby.
It's a lot harder to get in if you're doing something out there, because it's a lot of guys that play special teams at a high level in this league.
The pinnacle of your career.
You know what, yeah. Wolf? As long as you don't dismiss the 12.5 sack season in 2016, okay?
No, I understand
okay?
that, Paul. I right. do, right. Okay, well, next.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, but I played a lot of special teams that year, too, though. I didn't turn my back to, the, right, to what got me there. So, but and you know what? I think it's harder to be dominant on special teams. You only get one opportunity. Defense, you get three downs every time you go out there, at least three downs. Special teams, you get one play to be great. And so, you know, just the chances of you making plays is a lot slimmer on special teams than it is defense.
All right, Lorenzo Alexander joining us in the Big Red Rage. Not only the Cardinals, the Redskins, the Raiders, the Buffalo Bills most recently. Every time I say the following, Wolf winces. Here we go. The Cardinals have won the offseason. They get the Rex Ryan hardware, the trophy for winning the offseason. Is there anything wrong with winning the offseason, Lorenzo Alexander?
No, not at all. Not if you do it in the right way. And I don't think you know, obviously, they brought in a lot of talent. You know, you think about, obviously, Hopkins, and I think about Jordan Phillips and some other guys. Obviously, Isaiah Simmons in the draft. It's not the same as when, like, you think about the Redskins when they were just, you know, breaking the bank to pay all these guys to bring them in. They did it in a responsible way to get guys that are still playing at a very high level, reasonable contracts that you can manage, but you know guys that are going to go out there and produce. And so I think you want to be able to win the offseason. You know, that's why you have a front office. That's why you pay a GM in the scouting department so that you go out there and make strategic moves smartly and make your team better. I mean, that's what the offseason is for.
Right. For me, though, I just don't want to walk around and talk about, oh, we won the offseason.
Like, yeah, it doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah,
it doesn't.
I mean,
you don't win on paper. You win when the games are for real. That's
okay.
When you win.
But you give yourself a chance to win, because I've seen some people do a whole bunch of bad in the offseason, and you know they pretty much punt in the season.
Remember that strike year, I believe it was 2011, right, where Philadelphia, of course, they signed all these guys. Do you remember this? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And it was Andy Reid. Oh, you were in that division. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The dream team they put together, and there was just one problem. It never came together, ever.
Right.
So I think a lot of guys, they get sidetracked by talking about that. Now, listen, I want to talk to you about the roster and the roster building of the Arizona Cardinals right now. Overall, right, the defensive side of the ball specifically, how do you think they did, and why do you think they're going to be better?
Well, I think the main reason why they're going to be better, because now they have some continuity just from schematics, having Vance Joseph back for another year. I mean, I remember when I first came back to the Valley and you guys had Buda Baker on. And the main thing he said, man, I've had three different defensive coordinators in the first three seasons. I mean, there's no way I can ever learn anything and really go out there and be a football player, because I'm always constantly learning something new. So that alone, with the pieces that are coming back, and, you know, obviously adding Isaiah Simmons as a very versatile and dynamic player, Jordan Phillips, who's going to help on first and second down as well as pass rushing downs, and maybe take some of the pressure off of Chandler Jones, which we all know he's going to continue to be dominant. Patrick Peterson, and then, you know, I know you have a couple of young corners that are out there too, making some plays that are really growing up. And so when you think about that, the continuity, they should be better. The only thing now is because of the pandemic, and you don't have an off season to really continue to groom and learn some of those things that allow you to really be sufficient in the boulders, as we said, in the defense, and gain some of that communication skills when you're making checks and just get comfortable with one another. There may be a little bit of a lull in how good they can be. But, you know, like with anything, defense is always easier the first couple of weeks because you're just out there flying around hitting people. But to be great, those little things that I'm talking about as far as communication, being able to work off of one another, understanding the little small details in the defense to make you take yourself to that next level from being, you know, top 15 to top five, that may be a little bit of a low just because of the uncharacteristic offseason that we're going through right now.
You mentioned Pat P. Listen to Patrick Peterson on the Hyper Ice podcast this week.
This is probably the best football team I've been a part of on paper. We got young guys in the secondary, pass rushers, speed. Now it's going to be upon the leaders to manage the locker room, manage the egos, and make sure that everybody is on the same page and understand that we have to commit to one another, believe in one another, and trust one another.
That is saying something. When you consider the 2015 Cardinals that went to the NFC Championship game, 2014 they started 8-1 before Carson Palmer went down, 2016. I mean, that's a statement, isn't it?
It's a big-time statement. But I think Pat P is living in the now, and you can't look back. And so I think as he's been through some ups and downs these last couple of years, he's focused on moving forward. And then, I mean, on paper, it probably is. I mean, you think about Larry and Hopkins. I mean, we didn't have that dynamic in 14. You think about having Chandler Jones. We didn't have anybody like that in 14.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are definitely better, I think, as far as pieces here and there on paper. Mm. Now, collectively, that is where teams are separators, right? Because it's the ultimate team game. And so you can have stars all over sprinkled throughout a roster, but if it's not collectively and cohesively coming together, that's why he's talking about just on paper, because that's the process of the offseason and training camp that is forged where you really do something special together.
Hey, Wolf, listen to this. Earlier today, NFL Network, a couple of personnel guys, right, with personnel backgrounds, Bucky Brooks and Daniel Jeremiah, on Kyler Murray going into year two.
When I look at what they were able to do and bring it over DeAndre Hopkins, you've now enabled Kyler Murray to have another weapon. Between DeAndre Hopkins and Larry Fitzgerald, you have two of the most sure-handed wide receivers that you can find. And so if I'm thinking about an MVP candidate based on the way Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes popped in their second years, I think you might want to throw in Kyler Murray, because the weapons around him should enable him to play at a high level.
I think Kyler Murray has got a chance to legitimately be in the MVP conversation. I don't think that's hyperbole. I think you're going to see him more comfortable here in this offense. Big year ahead in 2020.
So between comments like that, Wolf, and the fact that Caesars came out with their odds, MVP odds, and Kyler was rated fifth best odds, along with Tom Brady at 16-1, to what degree do you find, are you scared by that? Does that scare you at all?
You know me, all right? This has destroyed players, this wall of success. How many times I have seen it myself. This wave of success that destroys players because they don't have their surfboard out mentally, if you know what I'm talking about. I don't think that's going to happen to Kyler Murray. I don't, Paul. I think the kid is special. I think his intangibles make him special. I think he's uniquely situated and suited to break that surfboard out and surf that wave as opposed by getting crushed by that wave of success. But it is a concern for me, Zoe.
Yeah, and I definitely understand that, but I think it's less about him and more about who he's around. And Larry Fitzgerald, I don't think it gets better than anybody who's had out-of-the-world Hall of Fame caliber success but still finds a way to get up and come and compete at a high level every single day and still make plays, you know, going into year, what is this, year 16 for Larry now? Mm-hmm. And so being able to see that, you know, hear them talk to each other, some of those clips that I, you know, when I'm listening to you guys on the morning show of him and Kyler talking to one another, Kyler is definitely, you know, all into Larry's and trying to figure out, you know, what can I take from this guy? And Larry is freely giving it. And so I don't see why it'd be any different in this situation as far as, hey, Kyler, man, you just need to chill out. I hear all the noise, but this is how you approach this season. Don't allow last season how you did and how you grew through the year to really impact your work ethic and what you decide to do during this offseason, especially with all this additional time away. You need to make sure that you're staying focused, you know, not doing 50 commercials and starting to, you know, smell yourself before you actually achieve any real success or longevity in this league.
Because what you've heard in the last few days are people now making the comparisons, or at least there's a potential pitfall of being the next Baker Mayfield. Year two. And to your point, though, you know, if we see Kyler in Home Depot commercials and you see more of him there in the commercial breaks and you do production on game day Sunday, then you would be concerned. But what really mitigates my concern for it all is the fact that he's been hyped ever since he was 15 years old. I mean, he played at the biggest high school program in Texas. When he goes in Monday night into the Dallas Cowboys Stadium, he's already won a state championship there as a teenager. So if anyone's equipped and geared up for all this hype, and there's precedent for it, because we know what Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson did in year two, it is Kyler Murray to me. We'll continue. We'll get a more perspective on this Cardinals roster from Lorenzo Alexander. It is a Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
Here they come, Mariota. nearly escaped, and he's sacked again. And Jordan Phillips with his second sack of this opening half.
Fitzpatrick on first down. Intercepted at the 30-yard line. To the 20, 15, Jordan Phillips. 6'6", 335 pounds, leaping over the opponent.
This is the biggest hurdler you've ever seen in your life right here coming up with this interception. And Jordan Phillips showing great athleticism.
You know, Wolf, the moment the Cardinals signed Jordan Phillips in the offseason during free agency, right when the free agency window opened, we all sort of wondered, all right, who exactly are the Cardinals getting here? Are they getting the guy a year ago who had 9.5 sacks as an interior D lineman, second only to Aaron Donald by a D tackle? Or are they getting the guy, a former second-round pick, who was waived by Miami 4 games into his 4th season and had only 5.5 sacks over those first 4 seasons? And, you know, it's sort of a conundrum exactly who is Jordan Phillips and what is he going to bring to the Cardinals' defense. So,
well, Paulie, I'm going to tell you this right now. He comes from Orchard Park, so he can flat-out ball.
Right.
All right? I'm just telling you. He lived in Orchard Park. He can ball. That's okay. All I'm saying, so.
Okay, so that's Wolf's answer, and it's somewhat predictable. He went with his hometown. But the answer I'm looking for is out of Lorenzo Alexander, who was his former teammate
right.
last year with the Buffalo Bills. So, go.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to look at just the trajectory of Jordan's career, and I have a little bit more understanding of who he is as a person, where he's come from out of Oklahoma. But sometimes it takes guys a little bit of time to mature. And kind of grow up and really understand what it means to be successful in this league and the things that you have to do to create the success. And I think he was humbled a little bit when he went through some of that time in Miami, came to Buffalo. In the first game I ever played with him, he was out there like a dog and just throwing guys around and making plays. He was playing with a chip on his shoulder because of what happened in Miami. And I think ever since that time, he's taken a different type of seriousness about his work, about his skill set, and about what he wants to be as a player, and really what he wants to be as a dad, and wants to see his kids and see how he is and how he shows up every single day. And it's really been cool to kind of sit back and watch his development and growth, the way he practices, the way he works out, the way he leads. And he definitely has an infectious personality and has got a guy that's going to, I think, continue to grow, especially when you put him with a guy who played in the league for a long time and has put out D lineman after D lineman and Brinson Buckner. And so he's going to continue to push Jordan in a way that I think Jordan is going to be receptive of and then grow from and be dominant in the defense that you guys are going to be playing against.
Zo, are you going to be in his ear? That's all I want to know right now. All right, because I know you've got a great deal of influence on a lot of guys. You were a team captain.
You know, I'll be around. You know, obviously I have Jordan's number and I'll talk to him and, you know, and speak to much as he wants to invite me in.
Yes.
Because you can't, I mean, I could pick up the phone every time and do yada, yada, yada. You got to be strategic and intentional.
Absolutely.
And I'll have him over once he gets out here and gets settled, and, you know, we'll reconnect. But at the end of the day, he knows what he needs to do, and I'm just here as a sounding board for when he wants to open up or ask me about something, because I think he does have it figured out. But sometimes you do need a little different perspective, which I'm here for, and he knows that.
What do you think he's better at? What do you think is the strength of his game? Is it better against the run or the pass rush? Is he better at that?
I wish I could give you like a clear cut answer, because I think he's dynamic in both.
Okay.
He's just a natural disruptive player. He plays up the field on their side of the ball. I think he's great at power and then being able to transition off of his power, and it's something that he's really learned. And I think over the last couple of years, his motor and the way he plays from the first quarter to the fourth quarter has really excelled. And so it's really hard for me to say what he's better at. I think he does both very well, and that's why he's a three-down guy.
That's the best
guy, man. First, second down, as well as third. And he's learned how to, you know, just like I said, lead and play when things aren't going well as kind of dig in when you're tired and make something happen. And so it's kind of been cool to see that progression from when he first got to us and what people thought of him when he was in Miami to where he is now.
I tell you, if you're telling me he has a motor and a chip on his shoulder, that he plays with an edge, he's already 6'6", 340-something with that sort of athleticism, no wonder he had 9.5 sacks as an interior D lineman last year. I mean, I'm all in, because there's nothing more frustrating, though, than a D lineman with a world of talent and size, and he's only really going to give it to you every third or fourth snap.
Right, and I think at the end of the day, he even kind of last year, you know, he signed a one-year deal. He was looking for something much better. And so he's like, hey, man, I'm just going to show you I'm going to work. And we drafted Ed Oliver last year, you know, in the first round, and that was supposed to be a penciled-in starter. And Jordan ended up playing his way into being the starting D tackle. And so that just shows you the type of mindset he has, and so you have to challenge him. And I think he's going to continue to carry that because he understood last year his mindset, what led to success. And Jordan is a smart dude, and so I don't see him, you know, messing up the formula or let me change the formula when he still has so much to prove in this league as far as being dominant. Because even last year, he didn't get into the Pro Bowl, and he felt slighted, you know, talking to him like, man, they got this guy in, I'm out here doing this. And so I know he's carrying that chip still, and he's going to allow that to fuel him into success this year as well.
So you and I have talked about this before in the past, but if you don't mind, go over it again. Tell people why Jordan Phillips inside of Chandler Jones and that three technique is going to be hard to block.
You just don't have enough blockers. I mean, because you have guys on the other side. I mean, and both, and we already know what Chandler does. He can beat a 1-on-1 and a chip every day of the week. And now you add in a Jordan Phillips that's over there as well. And so you know they're going to get the center slide most of the time.
Right.
But still, those two guys together, because of both of their knowledge and their ability to just beat 1-on-1 matchups, it's still hard to block those guys because Jordan gets up the field, penetration. Chandler does a great job of turning the corner and playing off of color as well and finding their way to the quarterback. And so it's going to be very hard, I feel, especially if they're on the same side, to really stop what they do. And once you throw into the games and they work out chemistry together, it's definitely going to be a dynamic group. And what I would probably end up doing, I would maybe even split them up because then you have to pick and choose, okay, who are we going to double? Who are we going to send the center slide to? Who do we have to chip? And I think you create more mismatches that way. Or, like you said, put them on the same side, and then you dictate. Then I know which way to slide.
Exactly.
Then you can send games to the other side or blitzes or different things of that nature to take advantage of trying to stop those two guys. And so it allows you to do a lot of different things because you have two dynamic rushers, not to mention some of the other guys that they signed that can rush the passers.
Right.
Well, here's Chandler Jones last week asked about the addition of Jordan Phillips.
I don't think the double teams and chips are going to stop anytime soon. But in the same sense, if we can get some interior push with Jordan Phillips and Devon on the other side, I feel like we're going to be fine. He penetrates, he gets upfield, and that's what our team needs, someone that gets that knockback pressure.
Yeah. When you look at the defensive front now, along with Jordan Phillips, you heard Chandler mention Devon Kennard. Where else does your mind go, Lorenzo, to the additions they made? A Corey Peters, who finally has some help in the interior D-line, the 2 fourth-round picks, Big Lecky Fotu, for example, out of Utah. What is the other addition that really moves the meter with you?
As far as the front seven?
Yeah, the front seven of that defense. Maybe even Isaiah Simmons or Devondre Campbell.
It's definitely Isaiah Simmons. I mean, just the way he plays, where he can line up, the things that he can do. He can rush, he can blitz. And so you can get very creative, you know, like we've been saying, once he gets comfortable at his will position. As far as giving a 5-down look, and is he blitzing? Is he dropping in coverage? Is he man-on-man on the back? I mean, it's just so many things you can do, and we did a lot of that with Tremaine Edmonds, who's very similar, as being long, tall, big, rangy guys that can run. And so you just open up a whole can of worms for Vance Joseph to get really creative as far as things he can dial up with Isaiah Simmons. And so and to go back to Chandler's point, you know, with Jordan Phillips in there pushing the pocket, I mean, that's everything for him because he's getting chipped, you know, tight end chip, running back chip. So now he doesn't have to be as precise as far as turning the corner and be able to come back downhill. He may be able to steal a couple more sacks because now the quarterback can't step up. And so I know he's licking his chops. He didn't want to say that, but I know he's licking his chops, so he doesn't have to be as precise as maybe he once was.
So Isaiah Simmons, do you see him more as a weak side inside linebacker, his future in the NFL, or more as a safety?
Yeah, I see him as a weak side inside linebacker.
Yeah.
I mean, he's rangy, big kid, long. He can play it. Obviously, he's going to have to continue to learn, work on his technique, and understand he's moving closer to the ball. So things are going to happen a lot quicker, the guys that he's going up against. But good coaching to help that, and you know, watch a film and learn things. And hey, you know, I'm in the valley, man. So if you ever want to understand how to transition to play a new position, you know, holler at me. I got you, man.
We'll teach him that transitional technician stuff as well.
We got to do a whole show where you just tell us Marshawn Lynch stories from your Cal days and Oakland days. That's all I want to do.
And, I love it, man.
Yeah, and it's good news that you haven't ballooned up in retirement to your former days as a D lineman, 310 pounds. So that's good to hear as well. All right, Lorenzo Alexander joining us. Thank you, Zoe. Appreciate it.
Anytime.
Stay
safe. Stay well on the Big Red Rage. Back right after this.
Shotgun snap to Murray. He's back to throw, looking, fires deep, near side. It is caught by Isabel at the 30. Near side, 40, cuts back, middle of the field at the 50. He's got speed at the 40, at the 30, at the 25, at the 20, the 15, the 10, the 5. Touchdown, Andy Isabella. It's an 88-yard catch and run by the rookie. And the Cardinals are in business with 4:53 to go.
You're not going to catch the 4-3-1, baby. That is lightning in a jar.
First career touchdown for Andy Isabella.
And it covered 88 yards. It was right in front of me, Wolf. It was home against the Niners. And I remember the throw leaving the hand of Kyler Murray. I'm like, man, where is he going exactly with that? And he layers it in between different layers of the defense. And boom, there's Andy Isabella. He corrals it near the sideline. He made a move and hashtag he gone. I mean, he just accelerated all the way to the end zone. And I bring that up in that fashion. Welcome back into the Big Red Rage brought to you by Santan, Ford, and Gilbert. Because Ron Wolfley, in no way do I want to lead into another discussion about Henry Ruggs III.
Indeed.
But I am going to say this. Everything that Henry Ruggs potentially could have done for the Cardinals offense.
Yes.
Is there still that same potential for an Andy Isabella?
Yes, I believe that, Paulie. You and I have talked about this many, many times, right? I mean, listen, Andy Isabella is a question mark right now. To me, I looked at Henry Ruggs III as a football player, a guy that I do believe, yes, a rookie coming in. Of course, he's a question mark, but I thought that question mark would turn into an exclamation point quickly. So the point is this, Andy Isabella's got a lot to prove. There's no doubt about that, right? And I'm not saying he can't do that. I'm hoping. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if Andy Isabella, the light bulb goes on for him? It goes on for him, and now suddenly, what's better than Larry Fitzgerald and DeAndre Hopkins? Well, a 4-3-1 over the top of Larry Fitzgerald and DeAndre Hopkins, who can hurt you down the field. And that's what he's got to do, Paul. He's got to line up and be able to show people that, you know what, he can flat out run right by somebody, and you can lob it down the middle of the field, and suddenly on the 8 route, touchdown. You got to show people you can hurt them. And once you do that, man, that's on film for the next 4 games.
Because you can't be a threat. You can't be the decoy. Oh. You can't be I, Andy, as in I, Candy, as we nicknamed him, and you groan every time. But you can't be that unless you have production to back it up.
Unless you do it, Paul.
Right. For example, J.J. Nelson ran the 4.28, but he wasn't that productive. And he wouldn't get that sort of respect. He didn't impact a defensive alignment or a defensive coordinator's game plan because he didn't have those numbers to back it up,
man,
correct?
When Skeletor that first season, when he actually did make an impact, Paulie, and he ran by some people, he did make some plays, remember that?
Yes.
And that did help. Okay, now listen, it wasn't sustainable with him. You need it to be sustainable. Skeletor, it wasn't, but man, if Andy Isabella can actually develop into that, Paulie, develop into a guy that can be reliable and catch the ball in a reliable kind of way and then flat out run by people, that all that's going to do is loosen it up in the secondary. So let's hope Andy Isabella, one of the best things that could happen to the Arizona Cardinals on the offensive side of the ball is that Andy Isabella develops as a wide receiver and can become a deep threat. If that happens, oh baby, lights out.
After that big game against the Niners at home, you remember that game? Well, the very next Thursday, right here on the Big Red Rage, he was our guest of DJ Humphreys, and our Jim Almondro has gone into the archives. And if you remember, Wolf, last November, mid-November, our question to him was, hey, Andy, why haven't you gotten more opportunities on offense?
Coach Cliff wanted me to just continue to grow and not has been playing me much. Just he wants me to be an all-around receiver instead of just a guy you throw in there and he can make a big play. And but maybe he's not very talented in his route running or detailed and that stuff. So as I get more detailed on that, hopefully he'll be able to trust me more and give me more opportunities.
And, Wolf, if you remember, Cliff Kingsbury on his coach's show that we would host every week towards the end of the season, he said, you know what, in hindsight, maybe we should have kept Andy Isabella at a single position, at just one wide receiver position. And, you know, maybe he was spread too thin between too many different spots at different times as, you know, guys got hurt and then his role would change. And I wouldn't be surprised if they simplify his role this year and then see if he can excel from there.
Yeah, Paula, you know, once again, it is such a different game. You can't stress enough how different the NFL game is from the college game. It's just night and day for the most part, and there's so many subtleties, so many things you've got to learn. The nuance of running routes and reading coverages right from time to time. Now, listen, there's a lot of take routes in Cliff Kingsbury's offense. We all know that, right, where you're going to run the route. You're going to line up, and you're going to run this route right here. That's an air raid principle. But, man, there were a lot of times last year where I think that air raid was sidelined a little bit, as we all know, and that offense evolved over the course of November and into December.
So how necessary is the development of yet another receiver in Cliff Kingsbury's offense? We know Larry Fitzgerald, DeAndre Hopkins, a healthy Christian Kirk. That fourth receiver, do you consider that a necessity?
I don't consider that a necessity. You can line up that 11 personnel, and that's what I think is going to be the predominant personnel group for the Cardinals. One back, one tight end, three wide receivers, and you just named them. D-Hop, Larry Fitzgerald, and Christian Kirk. Don't forget about Christian Kirk. Those three guys are going to do an awful lot of damage. But, man, whoo, if you could bring a guy in who could loosen up that secondary and 10 personnel, run by people, now you got magic with those three guys working underneath.
And there's the three rookies from a year ago. The spotlight is squarely on them when the Cardinals start camp. There's no doubt about it. Between Andy Isabella, Hakeem Butler, Keyshawn Johnson, there's Trent Sherfield. These are all guys fighting for a spot, not only in the rotation, but on the final 53. And when we come back, Wolf, you're going to love this. There's yet another poll out that has the Cardinals listed and their offseason fortunes at NFL.com. We'll get to that. Don't forget, you can purchase single-gate tickets or get on the season ticket priority list at azcardinals.com/tickets. Back on the Big Red Rage after this.
About the first month, we were all learning together how to operate, what we could be as an offense, and it took some time. And Kyler just grew and grew. Games slowed down for him tremendously. He was playing at a very high level late in the year.
Touchdown, Dan Arnold. Let's go!
Knowing what I know now, you know, I didn't know it coming into this season. I'm just excited to get back, really hungrier and better than ever, ready to lead this team to the playoffs.
Heard Lorenzo Alexander reference some of the coverage that you get in Cardinals' flight plan. Even former players get sucked into the all-access contact content. And a reminder, you can check out the first three episodes of Cardinals' flight plan on demand via the Cardinals' YouTube page. That would be youtube.com/AZCardinals. So, Wolf, at NFL.com, there's a poll that came out, and it goes something like this.
No.
Which teams are being underhyped this season? Underhyped.
Okay.
This season, as in under the radar. The Browns at 14%, since everyone's already written off the Browns. The Ravens at 19%, despite their spectacular regular season a year ago. Other came in at 33%. And your Arizona Cardinals at 34%. Are considered the team being most underhyped this offseason.
So they were okay. So what does that mean, Paulie? That means that they're not talking enough about the Arizona Cardinals,
yes.
Correct?
Hashtag it can always get worse for you. Because according to this poll, there should be more props and praise heaped on the Arizona Cardinals, a bigger spotlight, more attention, more talk about the Cardinals going into 2020.
Listen, ladies and gentlemen, is this a good thing for the Arizona Cardinals? Yes, it sure beats the alternative, right? Doesn't it beat the alternative? Boy, the Cardinals did nothing. They were 5-10-1 last year, and they didn't add one single player. You know what? Honestly, yes, it does beat that. There's no doubt about that. It beats the alternative, but man, warning, Warning! Warning, Will Robinson! Google it, my young crugs. That is Danger Zone stuff right there. Underhyped. And we know how much they've already been talking about him. That's incredible.
You know what, though? Dismiss that for a minute. We go back to Patrick Peterson, what he said about this being the best roster on paper in his career.
Yes.
What I like about it is the players see the commitment from the decision makers.
Yeah.
Because players know if you're a contender or if you're rebuilding.
You got that right.
And I think that's why Pat was, he got sideways a couple years ago because he realized, man, they've accelerated that curve big time and they are a contender now. And I think that locker room knows it. Special thanks, Jim Omohundro, Mitch Veraldis, for Lorenzo Alexander, I'm Paul Calvisi. Wolf, enjoy your evening.
You too, Bolly.
All right, the Big Red Rage brought to you by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
Number one, Kyler Murray!
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert. Are you Santan Ford? State Farm. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. And by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcasts. This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.